Chapter 12 this morning, I shared with my Sunday school class how God works, in mysterious ways. We use a Sunday school book in my Sunday school class, and Saturday morning I flew out of bed and said, man, I knew I had finished the book that we were using last week, and I said I needed to go to the bookstore, and on Saturday they're only open till 12. And one other time, I had actually bought two books at one time, and I didn't remember doing that. And we had just moved, so you know when you move, everything's chaotic, boxes everywhere. So even if I had a book, what do you think the odds are of finding it? But I went in my office, and on the bookshelf, there's probably only five books up there. Two of them were Sunday school books. One of them was an old one. And lo and behold, I had bought another Sunday school book when I bought the last one. And I didn't know what the lesson was. I'd already got my outline together. And when I got my Sunday school book out, I'll give you a little advertising plug for Sunday school over here. It was the father of Israel. You know, Genesis chapter 12 is where it starts out. But I already had my message together. I said, man, you know, God is moving. And I had the book, and it was on the case. I found it, and we started that Sunday school lesson this morning, but it didn't have any bearing on what I wanted to preach to you about this morning. But I got one other verse I want to read to you, and then give you the title, and then we'll get to Genesis chapter 12 in a moment. But I just couldn't get that verse off my mind for what I wanted to preach about today. But the title of the message are All Things Become New, and that comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17, where the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. And of course, with New Year's right around the corner, I wasn't real sure when I woke up this morning that Christmas had actually happened. It has gone by so fast. I was kidding. A boy I grew up with called me yesterday or day before yesterday, I think it was, or maybe yesterday, and he started talking to me, and I was kidding around. I said, boy, it goes by so fast. I know why people leave their Christmas lights up all year long now, because by the time you get them put away, it's time to drag them up. He said, yeah, I used to do that. So, you know, I see why now. I see the theory behind that, because it goes by and now New Year's is approaching. And traditionally on New Year's is when everybody, it's a starting point. And every year I preach a message to you that has to deal with that. It's traditionally used as a good starting point for people to make changes in their lives. I am going to lose weight this year. You know, that's going to be the New Year's resolution. We make that. But how many times do we say that we're going to do something, we're going to start doing or stop doing, and then we end up not doing anything that we said that we were going to do? It's good, I suppose, to have a goal and a plan. And, you know, and I think, you know, having a starting point, you know, to make some positive changes is hopefully what we all intend to do. You know, it's good. It doesn't have to be New Year's to do that. Listen, you can do it today. You know, you could have done it last, but New Year's is okay. It's good. It gives you kind of a reference point to do that. But there's a lot better or a much better starting point to make a change in your life than on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, whatever day you decide to do it. And that is a personal encounter with God, you know, in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the point, really. And when we look back and listen, I know, you know, if you're here, you're not saved, you've never trusted Christ, boy, what a point to make, you know, and what a change that will be. I mean, true salvation would make in your life. And then as Christians, a lot of times, you know, we get indifferent, we get cold, we get stagnant. We've been saved for years. We've heard it all. We know the songs. We know the message. I give you the topic of the text, and you already know probably what half of what I'm going to say. And we get kind of in that rut that we're in. And you know, sometimes spiritually, you know, we need to say, listen, you know, I've got to make a change. I've got to do something different, because it's that, you know, the definition of, I'm trying to think of the word, the definition of insanity, I think it is, or I think it's insanity, is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result to come out of that. And so, you know, we look at our life and we look at our life on a spiritual sense. You know, if we just keep, we may be at, everybody's at a place here spiritually. You've gotten to a place in your life. I don't know where all of you are. I got some ideas with some of you. Some of them, you know, you're back from a place that you at one time were. Some of you, you know, have gotten ahead of where you one time were. But everybody's at some place spiritually in your life. But I can tell you without a doubt that you'll remain exactly where you are if you keep doing the same thing you've done over and over and over to get you to that point. You know, something's got to change to move you past the point that you've gotten to, and it's good, because the problem with Christianity today and the problem with the church today is too many Christians have gotten satisfied with their place or their walk with God. They've got to a place in their life where they're okay, they're saved, life's going good, don't have a big crisis going on in their life. I don't know who that is, but if you were one of them, I'd like to talk to you about it after the service. But, you've got to that place where everything's okay, and you're thinking, hey, I'm good. You know, I don't need to go. I'm not going any farther forward. I'm not going to go back. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't go farther forward, you will go back. You may not think so, but you can drift. When you drift from the shore, it's a slow drift. And before you know it, you're away from the shore. So we understand there's some folks, and most of us, we could get closer to God. We could walk closer to God. But to do it, we're going to have to do something different than what, we're doing. We're going to have to make some changes in our life. When you look in the Bible at people that had encounters with God and what an impact and what a change it made in their life, there was a man named Saul who later became the Apostle Paul, was on the Damascus Road, and he had a thought, he had a plan, and his purpose in life, he thought he was doing God a favor, was he was going to attack this church, this cult, and this new group of people come up called Christians, and he was on his way. He was on the Damascus Road to go and have Christians locked up, and some of them perhaps even condemned to death. But guess what? He met Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, and God knocked him to the ground, buddy. I mean, blinded him with a light for a period of time. And when he got up, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was never the same man after he had that encounter with Jesus Christ and became one of the greatest Bible writers, gospel writers there is in the Word of God. And what a man that God used. Matthew, when you think about him, another one of the apostles, he was a tax collector. Tax time's coming up, folks. We'll start to hate the tax collectors if you don't already. But he was a tax collector, and Jesus, just looked at him and said, follow me. And I mean, his life was changed forever. Peter was an old fisherman, and God changed. Listen, God changed Paul's name. God changed Peter's name, and God changed our name. We went from being a heathen or a lost person to being a Christian, a child of God, a child of the King. If you're saved, you think about the blind, the lame, the lepers, buddy, when they had an encounter with God, when they had an encounter with Jesus Christ, I mean, they were different. I mean, they were healed. I was watching the other night, I don't know if y'all saw this, some of you did, the old movie, The Greatest Story Ever Told. Anybody see that? Come on TV. It's a long movie. When I was a kid, I went to see it at the movie theater, and at the movie theater, it's about 3.5 hours long. With all the advertisements at home, it was 4.5 hours long. But it was a good movie. Max Van Sydow, he was the guy that played Jesus. He actually is a preacher, was a preacher, wrote gospel books. I have one of his books. But when you watch those things, those movies, they're good. Usually you see that one around Easter time, but they had it on around Christmas. That's fine. They're not always biblically correct. And I was watching it with as I was getting this message together, and that came on, and we were watching it, me and my wife, and there was a guy that was lame, and Jesus went in the synagogue, and a guy was lame on his feet, and Jesus in the movie, he said, look, stand up and walk. He said, stand up and walk. Well, the guy got up and walked, and in the movie, he was all wobbly, and somebody had to help him, but he was walking. He hadn't walked in his whole life. Listen, it didn't happen like that. I'm going to tell you something. When you meet Jesus Christ and what He does for you, it's perfect. And what He does is perfect. I believe with all my heart that when Jesus said, get up and walk, I believe that guy jumped up out of the chair, clicked his two heels together. I would demonstrate for you, but I don't think I can do it. He clicked his heels together, and he hit the ground, buddy. He had a strut, man. I think he was going on down through there, man. Look at this, man. He was perfect. He was perfectly healed when them lepers, man, listen, they didn't have half leprosy. They didn't have less leprosy. They were clean. They were white as snow. I mean, when Jesus healed them, man, nothing was the same. And I'm going to tell you what, they didn't go back. The blind man didn't go back to being blind. The leper didn't go back to being a leper. The lame man didn't go back to limping or not being able to walk. Man, listen, they were made whole. Apostle Paul never went back to persecuting the church. He went to building. He went to building the church. And so there's changes that happen, and they happen in an instant when we have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And I know you're thinking, well, listen, Pastor, I had a personal encounter with Christ years ago, but that don't mean you can't get stagnant. Huh? You can get stagnant in your walk with God. And it's not God's fault. You know, it's our fault a lot of times, because what happens, we get in that old rut and we don't do anything to get out of it. Hell, we don't do nothing to get out of it. We just stay the same, stay the same, stay the same. Listen, it was real, it was permanent, it was personal, it was perfect, that encounter that they had with God. Now in our text in Genesis chapter 12, and ironically we studied this in Sunday school this morning, but I want to talk about several different things than what we see here. It says here that, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham," or Abram, remember he's going to get a name change too, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." You know, you're talking about a least likely candidate that was going to have a change in his life. And that was this man named Abram. He was 75 years old. 75 years old. I mean, we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school class. You know how set in way, how many of you in here are 75 years and older? I guess if you want to raise your hand and tell us. You know how set in your ways you get? Miss Markham's grinning. You know how set in your way, it's not just 75 year olds. Our Sunday school class was down this morning. We had eight people, and guess where all eight of them sat? In the same seats they always sit. I told them they was wearing my neck out. I had to look way over here and look way over there, all the way in the back with binoculars. I mean, everybody sat where they always sit. Can't move, can't make a change, because that's the way we are. But 75 years old. Here's a guy that's 75 years old. He lived in the same place all his life. He lived in, got friends, his family, the whole nine yards. The least likely candidate that was going to make a change. But then God spoke to him. Listen, age is not an obstacle to faith. Amen. Most people are starting at 75 to think about hanging it up. You know, I'm done. I'm retired. I'm set in my ways. That's it. But listen, God didn't call Abraham till he was 75 years old. God never used a Moses till he was 80 years old when he said, "Finally, I'm gonna. I got something for you to do." Listen, he had a big change in his life. The Bible says about Moses, it said that he was 120 years old when he died. Listen to this. It says his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated or means diminished. I mean, at 120 years old, man, Noah. Huh? Yeah. Moses. Noah lived a long time too. Moses, 120 years old, buddy. He was strong. Listen, we serving the same God. Amen. Huh? We're worshiping the same God. Listen, he's able. He was 75. He was prosperous. He was settled. He was pagan. He was an idol worshiper. And God said, "Abram, I want you to get up." I started the title of my message this, but I thought like, this probably isn't what you want to tell your church on the first day of the year, because next Sunday wouldn't nobody be here. The title was going to be "Get Up, Get Out, and Get Going." I figured next Sunday I'd come in and everybody's gone. So I'm not going to do "Get Up, Get Out, and Get Going." But he the least likely guy. Why didn't God go to this guy? We talked about this in Sunday school, because it's just God's grace, just God's love. Abraham is the epitome of faith. When you go into Hebrews chapter 11, that's the heroes of faith role in there. And it talks about him, that he was a hero of faith because he left everything to follow God's plan. Left everything to follow God's plan. Now, there was a chain reaction that's involved with this. And we talked about this in Sunday school. God went to Abraham. And we know about Abraham because Abraham was obedient to the faith. We know about Abraham. We have it in the Word of God. I wonder how many people that God went to or ever went to, and God wouldn't make a mistake in this way, because God knew what Abraham was going to do because he's God. But just for the sake of this text, I wonder how many people God might have went to, or God might have went to somebody and said, "Hey, I want you to do some great thing for me." But the people refused to exercise faith, and they wouldn't do it, set in their ways, and they wouldn't do it. We don't know. You know why we don't know? Because we don't have their name in the Bible. We don't hear nothing about them, because God didn't do anything with them. We know about Abraham because Abraham had faith. That's why we know about him. And so it caused a chain reaction. See, Abraham's call had two commands, each with two subsequent promises. And everything had to go in order. The first command was, get thee out. Get out. Leave your country and go to a land. Well, if he didn't do that, it all stops. That's it. He said, well, I ain't going. Well, all right, that's it. And then the thing was, the second command, look here in verse 2. He said, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Thou shalt be a blessing in verse 2. Now listen, in there, that appears as a prediction in the way it's written in the King James Bible. Thou shalt be a blessing. But the tense renders it this way. It's a command. He said, go and be a blessing. He said, I want you to be a blessing. See, we kind of have that same command as God's people today. We're supposed to be a blessing. And so it was a command there. Get out and be a blessing. He gave him two things. One command followed by the other, and he had to be obedient to both. And if Abraham hadn't have done it, things would have been different. If he would do it, there was three things that God was going to do for him, so that he could end up eventually being a blessing. And if he would do those things, after those three things, there would be three more things. See, there's a chain reaction here. Look here, he gave him three promises in verse 2. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will bless you. And I will make thy name great. There was three things right off the bat. I'm going to make your name great. Three promises if you get up, if you get out, if you do what I'm telling you, and you be a blessing. And then he gave him three more things. Chain reaction, it all had to continue on. The third thing was this, in verse 3, he said, I'll bless them that bless thee. Here's another promise. I'll curse those that curse you. And the third, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I mean, man, there was three things. Everything was going together as long as Abraham, by faith, did the first thing. I wonder about my own self sometime. I thought, man, I wonder how many of God's plans, not that God's plans can get messed up, but God can change how and who he wants to use. I wonder how many of God's plans I've messed up because I wouldn't by faith be obedient in the first step. Huh? You makes you wonder about that. You know that we need to do those things right there. And that's something to look, you know, as we go through, you know, into the new year. You know, a lot of times we're making plans. Everybody makes plans, and I'm all for making plans. I think you got to have a plan. But I'm going to tell you what, I believe God makes bigger plans than we make. I believe God will make bigger plans for your life than you'll ever think about making. Huh? Because God works in the impossible and we work in the possible. And God said, listen, I'm making plans. God had bigger plans for Abraham than Abraham had ever made. Abraham was probably about done making plans. He was 75 years old. He was settled at what he was going to do. I mean, he was wealthy. He was a prosperous man. He had cattle, had servants and all that. We know from when he finally did leave. He had all that. He had it going on. Man, listen, he was sitting perfect. Why should I make a change in my life? So I want to give you just a few things this morning here to kind of help us as we move into the new year. And I think this will help you as far as getting out of the rut. It'll help you in the area of faith, taking a step of faith and following God. And the very first thing we see is God-given directions. God-given directions. It says in verse 1 that the Lord had said unto Abraham, that God spoke. It doesn't tell us how he spoke. Actually, the tense kind of makes us believe that he actually spoke to him earlier than this point right here in verse 1. But it was, no matter what, when God speaks, guess what? It's God's word. When God speaks, it's God's word. Now look here, we got God's word today. This is the word of God. I mean, God speaks to us when we read the word of God. It's just as important, it's no less a viable thing than if God himself was standing here and he said, called your name and spoke to you. I mean, God speaks, and so God speaks to us in his word. And listen, God called Abraham to get out. I'm going to tell you what, God calls us to do some things too. We talked about this in Sunday school for one thing. Listen, why did he call him to get out? Well, he was living in a pagan land. And we talked about the fact that Abraham went a pretty far way, but the picture is, and I wasn't going to talk about it, but it fits in here well. It's this picture of spiritual separation. You know, that God calls us, listen, to separate from some things. You know, listen, and you know, I think that's an important thing that we separate, get out, leave that pagan world, leave that pagan land. You know, in idol worship, listen, the truth be known, and if we'd be honest with ourselves, listen, there's some people that we probably need to get away from. Huh? You might have some relationships that is not helping you get closer to God. It's not helping you to grow in your Christian life. You know, you need to get away from those things. If truth be known, there's probably some things that we need to quit doing. There's some things that we need to start doing. But he called him as a separate to get away, excuse me, from those things. You know, move away. And that's the picture there. Get out. You're living in a pagan land, idol worshiper. And he wanted Abraham, he was going to change him, and he wanted him to change spiritual addresses. Listen here. God had to get him out of that which would or could stifle his blessing. God had to get him out of that which would or could stunt his growth. God had to get him out of that which could or would stagnate his life, his Christian life, which that wasn't called a Christian life, but it relates to us. Listen, the Bible tells us, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. That's what God says. It doesn't happen automatically. Otherwise, God wouldn't have had to command it. It just doesn't happen automatically. We have to make a conscious decision. Hey, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to go there. I am going to do this. And I am going to go there. You know, to make that effort to grow. I heard a lot of other coughing going on here. Y'all didn't get it from me. And like I said, you know it. There's things that you know. You know it. You need to get away from it. There's people, and you know it. You need to get away from. Come out from. Abraham had to be obedient. If he had not been obedient, the chain would have been broken. Those blessings and those promises would have stopped if he hadn't been accordance with faith. And listen, it still wasn't a work salvation. It was still the grace of God. Listen, God has a hard time blessing us when we're disobedient. I don't care how you look at it. We're saved by grace. But there's some blessings attached with being obedient and faithfulness and that's what God wants us to get to. Obedience. I said this morning as well. God showed us he loved us when he sent Jesus Christ down to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Well, how do we show God we love him? In one way, be obedient. That's the only way you show God you love him. You can say it all day long. Listen, man, I mean, you can tell your spouse all day, I love you, I love you, I love you, but if you're constantly unfaithful, I got a feeling they're going to doubt it. And if we're constantly unfaithful to God, we do it by obedience. That's how you show God you love him. That's what God wants us to do. And he could not have been faithful and then be fulfill. Listen, if you're not faithful to God, how can you fulfill the command to be a blessing? God told Abraham, be a blessing. But if we're not faithful to God, we can't be a blessing because it's a spiritual thing. We can't either. Obedience is the evidence of our faith. It was the evidence of his faith. You know, many folks here, many of you here could be in a season of blessing, but you refuse to get out of that which is hindering that blessing. And you continue to hold on to that which is holding you up. Listen, God-given directions. The second thing, God-given identity. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, I read that at the beginning of the text, all things are become new. He said, listen, I'm going to make out of you. I'm going to told Abraham, he said, I'm going to make you a great nation. There he hadn't changed his name yet, but he was going to. I'm going to make of you a great nation. Abraham was the first Jew, the first Hebrew, the father of Israel. His name here is Abram, but God changed it to Abraham. That's a God-given identity. See, that's the whole purpose. And we think so much along these lines. I'm a father, or I'm a carpenter, or I'm a plumber, I'm an electrician, and I also happen to be a Christian. Got it backwards. You're a Christian that happens to be a husband, a father, or a plumber, carpenter, whatever, electrician. Christian first. See, Christianity is not something that we're to take and add up to our life and just tack it on, hang it on the wall like a club membership that we belong to, you know, Christianity is supposed to be the major focus, the major thing in our life, and all the other stuff just peripheral things. What if I lose my job? Got to give you another one. Got to give you another job. Listen, that God didn't put you on earth to only be whatever it is you are. God put you on earth to follow Him by faith and to glorify Him. I think I said something about that the other night. Our purpose is to glorify Him. A God-given identity. He's calling people today into the kingdom of God. But you have to step into that kingdom by faith. He gives us a new identity, a new direction, a new thought. Man, Abraham, I thought about his thought life. I try to think about things in between the lines of what the Bible's telling me, not that I don't think about that. At 75, what was Abraham, I said earlier, thinking about? Probably, you know, he had servants. He probably didn't do, I don't know, you know, I'm just guessing. I'm thinking what I'm going to be doing at 75, sleeping in the lazy boy quite a bit. But I'm doing that now. At 70, you know, he had servants out there tending the cattle. He might have strolled out there sometime just to see how it's going, hands in his pockets, looking over things, asking the foreman, how's it going? Going good, good. Mm-hmm. Going on back to the house for the afternoon nap. He's not thinking about packing up, moving, following God, starting a new nation, getting a new name, getting all that done. Man, he's not thinking about that. And he got his thought life all of a sudden changed. Because all of a sudden, hey, God's got a plan for me. God's got a plan. Listen, God's got a plan for you too. Was he going to start a new nation out of me? I can't say that he is, maybe not, but who knows? Abraham was just like you and me. He was breathing, sweating, worrying, doing things. He knew he wasn't perfect. He's just a man of faith. Listen, I guarantee you God's plans for you is better than your plans for you any day. Any day. He had a new determination. He had a new destination. Boy, all those are pictures of Christianity, by the way. And then we get to the third thing. For some reason I've got two number twos in my book. But third thing, a God-given purpose. Do you ever wonder about that, what I'm just now talking about? Have you ever wondered if God didn't have bigger plans for you than what you are or what you're doing right now? You ever wonder about that? I mean, when we were kids, I guess it's like this for you guys. I can relate more to the guys than the girls, but yeah, you dream about doing big things. You know, I'm going to be a hero, a star. I'm going to, and probably none of that's big as what God could. But you know, you wanted to do something great, didn't you? Kind of, I mean, if you're honest with you, didn't you want to do something great? I told preachers one time, they was laughing at me. And then I got them quiet. I looked at them, and that was my, I said, you know, I asked God, I pray to God. I said, God, make me a great preacher. I said, well, what else would you pray? You know, God, make me a sorry preacher. Already fulfilled that one. Got that prayer answered. God, make me a mediocre preacher, you know, middle of the road. Is that what you would ask God for? Why would you do that? God, just make me a great preacher. I want to be a great. Ask. You know, what else? What other prayer could you say? But didn't you ever wonder, you want to do something great? Hey, do something great for God. Well, I can't do anything great for God. No, not in your own strength. You can't do anything great for God. But if you put faith in God, listen, you know, Abraham would have never started a great nation. He'd have never had a child at 75 years old. Him and Sarah had a child at 75 years old, man. He'd have never done the things that we're reading about in the Bible today. Only, it wasn't because he was a super-duper saint, a superhuman being. It was just because he had faith in a super God. That was all there was to it. And you know, when you think about it, this God-given purpose. I wrote this down, at least three purposes for God's call. And this doesn't exhaust the purposes. I don't know, God's multitasking a whole lot more than we can think. Number one thing, the call to Abraham and the call to you, it's love. Number, you know, love, you know, concern for his salvation and our salvation as well. Listen, man, listen, Jesus came to the earth and we celebrated Christmas, but he came to die. God gave his son. Listen, that's tough, man. That's hard. That God gave his son for you. That's love. I mean, he really showed his love. And then we see God's purpose to bless the world. Jesus Christ came through Abraham's life. But listen, we think, well, how does that apply to me? Because I'm not a Hebrew and I'm not a Jew. But I'm going to tell you what, God can bless the world through the Christian. Yeah, because it's the presence of good. It's the presence of, supposed to be, the presence of the Christians and the presence of the church that's holding back the evil in the world. John Lennon wrote a song one time, Imagine. A lot of you remember that because he grew up in those days. Imagine. Everybody thinks it's such a great song. But there's a line in that song that says, imagine, and it talks about imagine that there's no heaven and that there's no hell and everybody's living for today. Think about that. Everybody just living for today and there's no heaven and hell. You know what this world would be like? Huh? It'd be chaos up to, you wouldn't believe what it would be like. It wouldn't be Christmas shopping. It'd be Christmas murder, man, because we'd be taking what we want. People would be taking stuff from you. They'd be running rampant. It'd be a rampage. It would be a violent world that we lived in. You wouldn't be able to walk out on the street. You wouldn't be able to sit in here today if everybody's living for today. Amen. Huh? And there's a lot of people out there. Well, you know there is people living. I know they are. They're the ones that's out there shooting people left and right for $5 worth of drugs and robbing and raping people and killing people, 12-year-olds shooting people to death out on the sidewalks of the big city because they're living for today because they don't think there's a heaven, they don't think there's a hell, and they don't think there's a judgment day. It'd be an awful time. Listen, God can bless the world through the church, through the Christians today. And then another reason that in God's purpose was to be an example to all the people of faith. Abraham, what an example to everybody of faith today, and that's why he's listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham was saved by faith. He lived by faith. His obedience was an evidence of his faith. He obeyed when he didn't know where he was, where he didn't know how, he didn't know when, he didn't know why. He just did it. He just followed God. He didn't know any of those things. Listen to this. I got this. The last of it. Closing. Pay attention here. The victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. You think, man, you know what, I feel bad. I don't know about you, man, but listen, when I get unfaithful, if I'm unfaithful to God or I'm backslidden, I haven't read my Bible, don't pray, do those things I need to do, and I got other things first and all that, I get convicted about that. But that's okay because God's a forgiving God. You know what, and we can start up. We say, listen, all right, I've backslidden. I've stagnated. I've been indifferent. I haven't done anything for God. That's all right, but you know what? Today's a new day. Huh? You're still breathing, right? If God wanted to kill you, you wouldn't be here today. It's a new day. Listen, you can start from this day forward doing something for God. Abraham and Sarah, they weren't perfect people. Listen, they sinned. Abraham did all kind of crazy. He doubted God. God said, listen, you're 75. You're going to be a father. Told Sarah, she laughed. She was a little bit, I think she was 65. She laughed. How many of you ladies 65 and older think, man, I'm going to have a baby? You might laugh too, but God said, listen, they doubted God. A little bit later on, when God's plan wasn't going fast enough, he took Hagar. His wife said, listen, take Hagar, my handmaid, and go ahead and have a child by her because it don't look like I'm going to have one. They took matters in their own hands. What a mess that turned out to be. Later on, when there was a famine in the land, Abraham went on down into Egypt. And God didn't tell him to go down into Egypt. When he got down there, he lied to God, never built an altar, never prayed to God until he got back up out of Egypt. He had a little stumbling area there of faith when he went down into Egypt. But guess what? You know what? He had a new starting point. When he come back up out of Egypt, he said, listen, I'm getting back to God's land where I'm supposed to be. Guess what? He built an altar. He prayed to God. It was a new beginning. After Hagar, the episode with her, and they had Ishmael, guess what? God went ahead and he blessed them, and they had another child. So it was a new beginning. They had Isaac. And so there was new beginnings. It's a series of those things. And the Lord was ready to forgive when they repented. But when you look at Abraham and Sarah, their life was generally characterized by faith and faithfulness. When you trust the Lord, no test is impossible. No failure is permanent. And here's the last thing. We're not saved by making promises to God, but by believing God's promises to us. Amen. Let's all stand.